Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Newsletter and broker here at Daniels Trading. Work with broker assisted clients, self-directed online. We have a fantastic platform called DT Pro, not only for your computer but also for a smartphone or for the great app on it. And yeah, if you want to know more about me, you can check out turnerstake.com. It's where we do a lot of our spec stuff, and turnerstakeag.com, which is more for farmers and hedgers. And I also have a daily newsletter that I'll put out, and sometimes when the ag marketing goes to the farmers, and the market alerts go to the spec traders. If you have any, and you can receive both if you like. If you have any questions about that, please contact me anytime. So, a couple of things. One, I did not realize the podcast did not go out last week or the week before. We had recorded it, and I guess there were some technical difficulties, and now it is lost forever in the internet. So, that stinks, but that is what happened. I also did some recording at the Commodity Classic, and it did not come out. I had my laptop. Anyone who was there may have saw me at my laptop, and I was speaking, you know, carrying around my laptop, going around Commodity Classic and talking about what was there, and the background noise and just the noise overall in the at the show canceled out just about whatever I was saying, so that did not come out at all. But we'll go over it a little bit right now, and I think that'll be good. So first thing I want to do is just go over the classic. It was great. We saw a lot of good speakers there. The National Corn Growers Association president spoke, American Soybean president, president of the Wheat Association, also sorghum. They were not as bearish as some of the farmers were, you know, when it came to the grain markets. I don't know if they were playing to the audience or they were maybe they have a little bit more of an insight on what's going on behind the scenes or hearing more about behind the scenes with the United States and China. But Purdue also spoke, the ag secretary. And I got to say it was I was encouraged, you know, to hear. And again, I don't think they were, you know, painting a rosy picture just because of the audience. I think they were pretty upfront with people that, you know, there is going to be a Chinese deal in their best estimation, that, you know, there will be, you know, right now China buys about $20 billion worth of ag from us, and it's going to be closer to 50 now, so we're going to more than double it, right? Could actually be one and a half, and so that'll be very good for the ag industry. And they were very bullish, or at least positive, on that development. So, you know, when you start to talk to them about that, and which, by the way, was my biggest takeaway at the Commodity Classic. It's always nice. I mean, I love going, and you get to see like all the big companies and the combines and the tractors, and they wheel all that stuff in, and you get to see all the different facets of ag. You know, from the seed to the weather services to, I mean, there's so much that goes on into farming, and sometimes it's just nice to be reminded of just how big the ag economy is and how many different services and vendors and companies there are out there. But and that was great. But my big takeaway really was that general session on Friday, and it was really nice to hear those people talk and share their thoughts on what the future was. So I actually left that conference a little bit more bullish than when I had gone there. And which is weird because the market has not been doing that. It's, you know, and we're going to get into the market real quick, but just one last thing on Commodity Classic. I would expect something to get done between China and Trump by the end of the month, unless something unforeseen happens, which could happen, right? I mean, the Trump, you know, backed out of the North Korea deal. Some of the guys thought that was a little bit more of some showmanship, like they knew the deal was going south anyways, and Trump used that situation to kind of show the world he is prepared to walk away, because let's be honest, the China deal was much, much bigger than the North Korean one. I don't know if that was just some spin. Could have been maybe a little bit of truth to it. But I thought that was an interesting take from some talking to some of the higher-ups at Commodity Classic. So that's my big takeaway. Anyone who was there and came by, thank you very much. I always appreciate people coming by and saying hello. A lot of Turner's Take podcast listeners out there. And that was nice to meet you, too. So macroeconomy. Right now, you know, the stock market is chugging along. You know, the latest reports on, you know, income and GDP and job growth have been fine. You know, it's not the end of the world. We're not going gangbusters. I would just say it's moderate. And I think you see that in the stock market. You know, the U.S. and China deal will be big. Last week, so the week before, not last week, but the week before, we've been talking about how we expected last week prices go lower in Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday as we got the first notice day. And then we'll be looking to buy the grains on, you know, basically that Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So we were a little bit, a day early, and which is fine. That happens. It's a timing issue. But what was interesting is that we sold off pretty good on Thursday, which kind of surprised us all because we were expecting a lot of selling Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And, you know, because of deliveries and longs having to get out by first notice day, which is Thursday. So everyone had to be out. The longs had to be out by Wednesday on the close. And also anyone had to make pricing decisions. You know, farmers who had to sell, didn't want to roll storage costs. And you had to get out by Wednesday, price grain by Wednesday too. What was interesting is the funds were piling on shorts, which is strange for this time of year. I mean, apparently they don't really believe the U.S.-China deal. They don't think it's going to happen. They've kind of lost faith or just gotten tired of basically the same headlines month after month, which it has been since, what, end of October, U.S. and China. I mean, you can look at the Reuters headlines. Someone put a tweet out about it, how you can see, you know, the same headline from Novdis, January, February, March, you know, U.S. and China getting closer on a trade deal. So that's been kind of exhausted. You know, the South American crop is made, and they'll be, you know, selling that. We're not getting as much wheat export as we thought we were. The balance sheet for soybeans looks huge. And then with 92 million acres and a trend line yield for corn, we're almost back to 2 billion on the carryout. I was real surprised on the shorting of the corn market. I can understand the beans a little bit and even the wheat market. What's interesting about corn, though, is we haven't planted anything. We're going to get a late start. There wasn't enough field work done in the fall. You know, when we've had great yields, you know, all the field work, the preparation, the chemicals, the fertilizers that needed to be put on early were done. That has really not been happened, and now it's going to be a rush job. And that could affect either, one, the acres don't get planted, or if they do, it could adversely affect the yield a little bit just because, you know, everything wasn't done on schedule like it used to be. So, or it has been for the first 5 years. So that I found was very interesting. That I wouldn't be surprised if, I mean, honestly, if we just even have a little bit of delays or weather issues, you know, it seems like the funds are just asking to be caught in a short covering rally right now, regardless of, you know, what happens with the crop, but especially this early on in the year. Now, if China comes in and says they're going to be buying soybeans, cotton, beef, corn, wheat, sorghum, ethanol, whatever it may be, I mean, they've got to basically more than double their ag purchases than we have now. There's been some disbelief in the funds that say, how can this happen? How are they going to possibly buy more than double? Well, China buys a lot of ag from all over the world. And what would basically happen is with this trade deal, they'd be buying it from the United States. And I think for them to trade horses like that, for China to do that, they're probably asking for concessions on how much they have to really give in on the technology transfer and the intellectual property rules and regulations, right? So, you know, the United States probably came in hard and said, hey, we're placing these tariffs. We have this huge deficit. You're taking advantage of the technology laws that you have and intellectual property. And I'm thinking what it looks like is China is just going to throw a big bunch of money at us, right, to try to make the problem go away so they can, you know, give in as little as possible on the technology side. And I think for China, you know, the most effective thing for them is going to wait this out as long as possible, right, which they kind of have. But they need a deal too because their economy isn't doing well and the tariffs are definitely hurting them. And in China's eyes, you know, if they're buying, you know, South American, you know, crops or European United States, it probably doesn't matter a ton money-wise to them. I'm sure the intellectual property and technology is much more meaningful to them. And then the United States, you know, Trump's probably doing his best to correct some wrongs that are probably done in the past on the tech side, but it's probably almost only so much he can do anyways. So I'm pretty confident in a deal now. I do think it's going to be ag, energy, and manufacturing focused. I don't think the United States is going to win a lot of the battles it's trying to, you know, trying to win on the tech side. But, you know, a lot can happen just, you know, a lot can happen. I'm just surprised the funds are this short heading into that, and we'll just kind of have to see how this goes. So right now, I would much rather be either long corn. I like being long corn. I don't want to be short corn here. I really have no interest in being short corn here. I think soybeans are a tough call. Because here's the thing, even if China comes in and buys all this beans, and they're not going to buy us out where we'll have shortages, like they'll buy just enough. You know, we don't want to run out of, you know, grain here in the United States, but they will buy more. They'll buy all our excess or spillover. We still have very large global stocks. Like, the way you get soybeans in the teens is if not just tight stocks here in the United States, but tight stocks around the world, which is not going to happen. What this deal is going to do, it's just going to basically keep world-ending stocks the same. But instead of the United States having too much of it, it's going to be other countries having too much of it. So corn, instead of being in the mid to high threes, if it's in the low to mid fours, you know, or just around four, I can see that. You know, beans, instead of being at eight or, the, you know, high eights, low nines, we could be high nines, low tens. You know, wheat could be up to $5 again. You know, that it's that kind of stuff. To get those prices even higher, you know, corn to five, beans in the teens, wheat to six or higher. Not only does he have to have a shortage in the United States, but you really do need to have to start having tight stocks around the world from the major export countries. So that's how it works. So no one should expect, you know, $13 beans, or I don't think so, you know, I mean, or $6 corn on this China deal. But what we can expect is probably a lot better prices, and the United States will be the first-stop shop, you know, for China and its commodities buying instead of the rest of the world. And I think that is going to be the biggest benefit out of all this. So that's why I don't want to be short. I still like the straddles, though, and I still talk about new crop straddles just because, you know, I mean, when this is all said and done, $4 new crop, you know, without any $4 new crop kind of sounds right in this new environment. You know, where we're going to have a 1.5 billion carryout, and, you know, China's going to buy our excess corn, and, you know, and then, or our excess soybeans, or buy our excess wheat. So $4 corn and $10 beans and $5 wheat kind of sound right to me in that environment. Again, we're entering a whole new world if this deal goes through on the demand side, and it could be a multi-year demand driver, but I don't put the... But you got to be a little bit reasonable, just because it's China who's going to be buying from us. Anyone else who needs our grain, that doesn't have to buy it from us. You know, they're not going to buy $5 corn where they can get $4 or $3.50 corn down in, you know, the equivalent in Brazil or Argentina or something like that. So, just keep that in mind. As for the other markets, cattle looks like beef would be a big. I think beef would be a big part of demand in a deal. We do see cattle tend to top out this time of year. This is, you know, after you get past all the weather spells, the market, the premium that the market builds into the tonnage we lose due to the cold weather starts to come out of the market unless demand stays high. Demand has stayed high. I don't know if we're going to keep on seeing beef move higher. It would be counter-seasonal as we get further into March and into spring. So I would probably think the cattle starts to maybe going to be put in seasonal high soon. The opposite is usually true for pork and hogs this time of year. It's going to be interesting to see with, you know, how much pork China comes in and buys from us, especially with the African swine flu and the trade deal. Plus, even though we have a ton of supply here right now, as you start to get into spring and summer, that is the high demand months. If you are a hog trader, what you want to be following is not just the slaughter, but what are the prices of the end products, particularly pork bellies. Pork bellies usually have a very, and they don't trade in the futures market anymore, but they do have the cash prices reported every day by the USDA, and you can follow that. And if you start seeing the pork belly prices go up, you're going to probably be seeing the hog markets going up overall. So that'll be something to check into. In terms of energy, we do like the energy markets too. We've been bull spread crude and we've been bull spread gasoline. I like that. I think there's a China deal. Not only is China going to buy a whole bunch of ag products, another thing they could really use from the United States to help close the trade gap, which is really what this is all about. There's two things going on with this trade war. It's the trade gap between the United States and China, and then it's the intellectual property. And the United States is going to get a, this thing goes through, probably going to get a big win on that trade gap. We'll see about the tech. But, you know, so crude and RBOB, I like those bull spreads. I like sticking with them, not only just because of this trade deal, but seasonally. We should start seeing better demand for gasoline and crude oil as we get into the spring and summer. It's just, you know, so I think there's a couple of things that, that I like going there. So that's the grains, the livestock, and our energy thoughts right now. I get a lot of people asking me about coffee. I know coffee is below a buck. You know, you see it under 100 and everyone wants to buy it. I can't come with a good reason except for it's so low, and that's usually not a very good reason to buy something. It's going to always go lower, so I'd hold off on that. We're still bear spread some sugar. This is the time of year where you usually see the sugar supplies and the harvest coming in way on the market, and there's not going to be a trade deal for sugar, so we'd expect that to continue to go. And then as far as cotton, again, it's, you know, you can point to bearish fundamentals and low prices for the cotton market, but we got to see what happens with this Chinese deal too. That's probably going to be one of the commodities that China comes in. So I'd rather be long than short cotton right now. As for the metals, if the economy is going to keep on getting stronger, and we're going to talk about interest rate raises in the second half of the year, we're going to, and if this trade deal gets done, that's going to be good for not just the United States economy and the global economy. Metals are going to probably have a tough go of it. All right. So that's something to keep mindful of, too. I know a lot of guys like the precious metals. I understand why. I don't know if this is really the time to jump in. And if you want to sell them, you may have some better opportunities selling the rallies rather than buying the dips. So that is Turner's Take podcast for this week. Apologize for the past podcast not coming out, but the Commodity Classic one did not come out at all. The sound was awful. And the one from the week before apparently somehow got lost and destroyed. And I really don't know what happened there. So we're good going forward. If you need anything, give me a call. Happy to talk to anyone. And good luck to you out there. All right, talk to everyone later.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors, such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.